God knows best. This is the sermon I wanted to do on Kids Sunday, but when I laid out the schedule, I couldn't make it work. Because if you're going to take the pictures in order, as we are doing, then this one should have been taught last week, and we should be doing a totally different picture this week. But although I could not figure out how to make it work, God had a way to make it work. It only took 27 inches of snow to figure out how to move this sermon onto Kids Sunday. Are you learning anything about your faith yet? We learned from the picture of Abel that, well, faith is going to take a little bit of sacrifice. We learned from the picture of Enoch that faith is going to take a pleasing walk with God. We learned from the picture of Noah that faith is, well, it's going to take some listening to some instructions. And, well, we're going to stare at the next picture, and that involves a word also. But before we talk about that word, let's talk about these two guys, Aladdin and Jasmine. Jasmine's world is kind of small. In fact, she's never really been outside the palace except for at one point when she decides to run away from home and experience a little bit of life, but that didn't last long, and now she's back inside those same old walls. But Aladdin has an answer. Aladdin has a magic carpet that can take them anywhere her heart desires. But I love Jasmine's question. Is it safe? What an obviously dumb question. There are no seatbelts on this magic carpet. There are no airbags. I'm sure Aladdin didn't have one FFA flight plan on where he was going to be. There is no way that this could possibly be safe to climb on a carpet and fly anywhere. But the funny thing is, Aladdin assures her it is safe. Aladdin assures her, if you climb on the carpet with me, it will be just fine. And then he asks her the question, do you trust me? And as Jasmine stands there, just saying, yes, Aladdin, I trust you, isn't going to be enough. What is the only way to prove she trusts him? Climb aboard. Well, let's go for a ride. Let's go and see a whole new world. And that brings us to this picture. Talk about a man that had to learn how to trust. Let's talk about Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 12, this is what the writer writes about this picture that we're going to look at today. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he later received as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were the heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architecture and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, as he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the countless as the sands on the seashore. Abraham's faith took Abraham on a ride that would lead Abraham to a whole new world. Now, if we're going to actually review Abraham's story verse by verse, we'll be here a while. It goes from Genesis chapter 12 to Genesis chapter 25. So instead of reading you 13 chapters of the Bible, which might be a fun exercise one of these days, but not today, how about we just hit the high points to see Abraham's life as we look at the story. As I've just reiterated, he was called to an unknown place. Could you imagine what that's like, Abraham? I have somewhere I want you to go. Okay, God, where is it? Not going to tell you. Okay? How long will it take me to get there? Not going to tell you. Well, what do I need to pack? Everything. Could you imagine Abraham going home and sharing that story with his wife? His wife might have wondered what he'd been drinking or smoking that day because, Abraham, you want me to do what? But he's called to an unknown place. He lived his retirement years, his elder years, as a homeless man, going from place to place, pitching tents, didn't own any property. As a matter of fact, when his wife passed away, he had to go out and buy some land just to bury her because he didn't own a thing as far as property goes. That's interesting. He looked forward to promises God made. This man lived his entire life looking forward to promises that in reality he was never ever really going to see the full fruition of all of it. That takes a little bit of faith, doesn't it? It says that he and his wife Sarah had a son in their old age. And just so you know, I'm not volunteering for this job. I'm good, really. And I often wonder why God chose Abraham. Why not go pick some 25-year-old young buck and his wife and say, let's make a nation with you. But God wanted to show his greatness, and so he decided that Sarah and Abraham, at the tender young ages of 75, would send out on this journey. And it would be another while before Sarah had the baby, but still, man. And of course, we know his descendants were going to be as numerous as the stars. Now, I've never actually attempted to count the stars, but there are bunches of them. And I got a feeling if I tried, I can only count the ones that I can see. And now we know because of Hubble telescopes and rocket launches, and there are more stars beyond even your human eye can comprehend. And he did all of this for a handful of promises because he trusted God. That's incredible. Man, I wish I had that kind of trust to climb on a carpet for that kind of ride. I mean, I want God to spell things out for me. I don't like trust. I like knowledge. See, that's how most of us work. We want information. So let's talk about these promises that God made, because it's pretty steep. God tells Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. Abraham, we're not talking about just you and your family and y'all are going to get a big piece of property and going to be farmers. I'm going to make you into a nation. From you is going to come government. From you is going to come cities. From you is going to come a nation that all the rest of the world is going to look at. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Abraham, I'm going to give you more blessings than you know what to do with. Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. Abraham, you're going to go down in history as one of the greatest men that ever lived. Nobody is going to not know your name. Abraham, you're going to be phenomenal. Abraham, you're going to be a blessing. Abraham, not only am I going to bless you, but anybody that comes in contact with you, you are going to bless them because of the way you live your life. I will bless those who bless you. Abraham, anybody who gives to you, I'm going to give back to them. Anybody that bestows a blessing upon you, well, you know what? I'm going to bless them also. And there's a reverse out of that, Abraham. I'm going to take care of you. Anybody that stands against you, anybody that curses you, they're not going to have to deal with you, Abraham. They're going to have to deal with me, God. That's what Abraham is being promised. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, those are some pretty big promises that Abraham is getting here. And I got a feeling when Abraham is hearing this, he's thinking, God, for a nation to be born through me, you kind of need something. I don't even have an heir, God. I don't have anything at what you're asking for, but you know what? I'm going to trust you for what you say. Because these promises were God's part. But you have to understand, for trust to be there, well, Abraham's part is the story of faith. It's the story of faith that I want us to look at as we think about this picture and why this picture was hung here in the Hall of Faith to help us understand what it means to have faith. Abraham is a great example, and all we have to do is kind of follow the outline that Hebrews gave us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. This is what it says. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Well, here's the good news is, he didn't have to answer the question, are we there yet? Because he didn't know when he was going to be there. He never had to have Sarah tell him to pull over and get directions about where he was going, because he's like, I don't know where I'm going. How can I tell somebody where I'm going, how to get me where I'm not even know where I'm supposed to be? But here's the deal. Abraham went. And it wasn't that Abraham went later. Abraham, it says, went when called. God didn't have to give Abraham anything else except for to say, go. He obeyed and went. There wasn't a whole lot of family discussion about this. I don't think they went home and put it to a vote. As a matter of fact, I know they didn't, because all we have to do is go look in Genesis chapter 11. Just look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 through 12:1. This is what it says. Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur to the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The call of Abraham, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's house, to a land I will show you. So Abraham got this call, and this wasn't just an Abraham trip. They packed up the family camel and headed out on their path. You know, this would make a great movie, wouldn't it? Like National Lampoon's Vacation, done 2,000 years ago. Because here we go, he's got everybody packed up, and they've gone a certain distance, and they tend to do what we do. They settled. Did you catch that? They got to a certain point, and they were tired of moving, and they were tired of going, and they just settled. They stopped right where they were, and they said, you know, this looks like a really good spot. Let's just hang out here for a while. And God let them do it. But God wasn't done, because then he came back to Abraham and said, hey, you're not there yet. Did I say stop? No, I did not. Abraham, where you're supposed to be is not where you are, so get moving again. And then he throws something into it, and he helps us to understand that, you know what? You're going to have to leave something behind, because your country, your people, your father's house, to a land I will show you. See, Abraham had to live illogical faith. He really did. You see, because Abraham had to go here, and you need to understand that Abraham's not the only one that was ever called to do this. In John chapter 21, verses 18 through 22, we read that Peter got no guarantees. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? You must follow me. See, a lot of times we want guarantees when we follow God. And God says, no guarantees for you. Peter wasn't the only one. Remember Paul? In Acts chapter 9, verse 15 through 16, it says, Paul would have learned him on the job as far as his training goes, but the Lord said to Ananias, go to this man who is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. And here's the cool part. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Paul was going to have to do all of this on-the-job training to get ready. Because if you're going to follow God, you're going to live your life on this need-to-know basis. You're only going to get the next step sometimes, just like Abraham, just like Peter, just like Paul. God's not going to give you the whole picture. And sometimes we should thank God for that, because if he gave us the whole picture, God, I'm staying right here. I don't think I'm interested in your plan, because your plan is bigger than I can imagine. So God leaves us in these need-to-know bases, and he tells us that we're going to have to live by faith and not by sight. You see, sometimes going where God wants you to go, it means that I can't trust what I see. I can't trust what I'm looking at because what I'm looking at is much smaller than what God can see. It means that he's going to hold out his hand sometimes and say, do you trust me? And we're going to have to be willing to climb aboard. See, because not only are we going to have to actually live on a need-to-know basis, we're going to have to, we're going to have to leave something behind. I read those scriptures to you earlier where Abraham had to leave his fathers and mothers and family behind. This is what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 says that I read to you earlier. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. You know where my son is today? Well, he actually is probably home by now. But you know where he was yesterday? Not Benjamin, my oldest son. They went camping. Are you insane? Do you know what they had to do before they could pitch their tent? Shovel snow. I'm sorry, I don't sleep with bugs when it's really nice outside, let alone the benefit of going out there into the middle of nowhere and shoveling snow, which I'm already tired of shoveling, just so I can set up a tent to sleep outdoors when I've got a nice, warm, cozy house that I can sit in my nice, warm, cozy reclining chair with hot food, and I can get the television and the cable, and I can be comfortable. Does it make any sense to why you would want to go camping? That's true. Good point. The bugs are smarter than us. They go indoors. But imagine what Abraham is doing here. I mean, he would spend the rest of his life in a tent. Would you sign up for it? If God said for the rest of your life, when you accept Christ and you come down the aisle and you accept him and you file for baptism, if one of the requirements was the rest of your life, you're going to live in a tent moving from place to place, would you have been so ready to sign up for it? I'm not so sure we would. Because we start looking at the comforts of my home and the comforts of what I have, and you know what? It wouldn't be so impressive anymore. Maybe I want to have some second thoughts about this. But Abraham was going to spend 20 to 30 years living like this. And not only was he going to live like this, this is how his son and grandson were going to have to live. It says they were going to be like strangers in a strange land. They were never going to be comfortable again. All because Abraham decided to trust God and take him at his word. Follow God where God wanted him to go. That's hard. You know, a few years ago, we did this series as a church. It was called Not a Fan. And we got real familiar with Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. See, we understand that it's going to take sacrifice. That I'm going to have to add some other kind of something to my life if I want to follow Christ. But if you go over just a little bit to Matthew chapter 16:24, Jesus states this in a different way. Then Jesus said to the disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple must, and here's the leave behind part, deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. See, I think I'm just getting a feeling here that we don't have a problem following Christ. Adding something new to my life to do is okay. But when God asks us to leave something old behind, I struggle with that. I don't mind God calling me to a new adventure because who doesn't like adventure? But when that adventure means that some of my old life that I had, I've got to leave sitting behind because I can't take the old with the new, that causes me problems. See, we don't like the idea that to follow God, we have to leave something behind. What we want to do is we want to pack up everything that we have and put it all in suitcases and all the problems that we have and all the sin that we have and all the issues that we have, and we want to get this big cart or this caravan and put it behind us, and we want to love all of that stuff through our Christian life, and then we wonder where our passion goes. You know where it goes? I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted because I am not only trying to follow Christ, I'm trying to pull my life along with it, and it doesn't work that way. It's never going to work that way. Abraham wasn't able to go and build a house and sit down in comfort. Abraham was going to be a nomad for the rest of his life. It's kind of funny. I was talking to another minister about a building here recently. We were just chatting just because we have a connection to this building. And when I was talking to him, he made the comment. He said, you know when we were the best church around? I said, when? He said, when we were at the school. This church has spent 3 years as a portable church in the school. They said, we were a better church when we were at the school because all we had to worry about was people. We don't have to worry about whether or not the light bill gets paid. We don't have to worry about who's going to clean the floors. We didn't have to worry about whose turn was it to cut the grass. We don't have to worry about taxes. We didn't have to worry about any of that because we were totally portable and all we could focus on was people. I wonder sometimes if we get way too into the idea that we're supposed to be a stationary people and God never intended for us to be stationary. He intended Christianity to be a pack and go kind of relationship. Where God says go, that's where you're going to go. You see, because following God means you're going to live on a need-to-know basis. Following God means that you're going to have to leave something behind. And well, following God means that sometimes it's going to defy logic. This is a tough one. Hebrews chapter 11:11 says, and by faith even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. Sarah had given up on kids. She was never worried about having grandkids. She was unsure why God had put this curse on her that she couldn't have kids, but she was well past childbearing ages. If you're over the age of 60, I can probably get an amen from that one. You are well past the thought of having kids. I'm just over the age of 40, and you know what? Amen. We are well past the age in which I want to be thinking about diapers and bottles and 2 a.m. feedings and all that kind of good stuff. Not me. But this was going to defy logic. God wasn't choosing people that everybody else would say they're the best choice. He was choosing people that would follow him. Now, you need to understand that this promise of a child was not instant. It didn't just happen. In fact, along the way, Abraham lost a little faith, and he does what we do sometimes. He tried to help God along. And interesting enough, when he tried to help God along, he made things worse. But God had to remind Abraham two more times that he was going to have a son, that he was going to have a nation. And it wasn't until Genesis chapter 21, which if you know his story starts at 12, so we're now talking many, many chapters down the road there, we find out, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this, will laugh with me. Or at me. No, it's with me. No, seriously, we have this idea that Abraham, he's 100 years old, holding his very firstborn son. That's not a logical choice, God. You're trying to make a nation, you want something else. Why are you choosing this? And you do realize that was just the start that they're going to have to wait for, it because it would be hundreds of years later before there was a nation. They were going to have to go into famine, and they were going to have to come out, and they were going to have another redeemer, and they were going to have all this other stuff. They were going to have to fight for the territory before there was actually a nation of Israel. Remember that promise that all the nation would be blessed by you? Well, that was going to happen thousands of years later. That would be Jesus. Abraham didn't get to hang around on this earth and see all those promises God made. You see, this is illogical faith. And also, I want you to see that this isn't just a thing for Abraham. It was a thing again for Peter. Peter, you've been listening on the water all your life. You're a fisherman. Get out of the boat. God, people don't stand on water. God, that's not a safe choice to make when you're in the middle of a storm. You don't get out of the boat. You hunker down in the boat. That's a logical faith. That's a logical faith for Philip when he's looking at these 5,000 men plus their families. And he says, God, let's send them home because even a day's wage wouldn't even give them a crumb to eat. And Jesus looks at him and says, tell them to sit down. I've got a plan. And I'm sure as they're going around, they're looking for something to eat. And they come back to Jesus. He says, well, There's good news. There's food. But there's bad news. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, that'll be enough. Man, we should have told some people at the grocery store that when they were going in and buying 20 gallons of milk. You only need a little bit. God can do everything with a little bit. Man, it was insane. We get crazy about food, don't we? But Jesus says, I can provide because I'm not going to work off of your logic. It applies to us. He tells us to save your life, you're going to have to lose it. He tells us to become great, we're going to have to become the least. You see, it all works the same. God wants to take us on an adventure. And we have to remember a little trust goes a long way. And so from this one man, as he is good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. You cannot count how many people Abraham is responsible for, both physically and spiritually. Because it was from Abraham that this Messiah came.